Good morning. Before we begin, I want to say, of course, that this year is dedicated to the memory of my brother, Reb Shmuel Yehoshua Ben Yehuda Gold. And I want to tell you, I appreciate your condolences, and that makes absolutely no difference to me. Not everybody knew, not everybody was able to make it. That's okay, I didn't advertise it in any way. The family, my brother's family, lived in Petah Tikva. The Levaya was in Petah Tikva. I sat Shiva most of the week in Petah Tikva, except for the last day, Wednesday. From Wednesday to Thursday morning, I didn't really want to trouble people that they should have to come, but I know exactly how you feel, and I understand your feelings of condolences. You're okay in my book, all of you are. I didn't need people schlepping out to Har Nof either. So the important thing is that we should all enjoy Simchas together from now on and forever. Okay. Truth is that at first I had planned on giving a memorial shiur dealing with that which my brother did. The last 30 years of his life, he devoted to Rashi. To Rashi. He studied ancient manuscripts. All sorts of early print things. He writes that he, in his will, last will and testament, he writes that he had gone through 15 different manuscripts of Rashi. But we're talking about reading this very difficult stuff and deciphering it and understanding it. And as a result of 15 manuscript editions of Rashi and 15 of the first printings, he really wrote up a new corrected text of Rashi and Chumash, Tillim, and Iyov, and we hope in Yerush Hashem that it will be printed. It's all on computer, but that'll take a little while yet. So I was going to give a shiur on his work on Rashi, which is absolutely fascinating, but then something else caught my attention. So we can leave the shiur on Rashi for another week or two. In Yerush Hashem, I will give that shiur. What was it that struck me? That struck me is that the Shavuos of the Tammuz is on Sunday. Now, real Shavuos of the Tammuz is this coming Sunday. It's not that the fast day falls on Shabbos and we delay it until Sunday. Real Shavuos of the Tammuz is on Sunday. So what's the significance of that? The significance is that Parshat Pinchas that we read this Shabbos precedes the 3 weeks. And when Parshat Pinchas precedes the 3 weeks, there's a Haftorah for Parshat Pinchas. Usually, Parshat Pinchas is the first of the 3 weeks. And then the second of the 3 weeks are the two Parshiot, Matot and Maaseh, together. Very long reading of the Torah. And then the third of Shabbat of the 3 weeks is Parashat Devarim. So now, Devarim, of course, is known by its Haftorah, Shabbos Chazon, because we read Chazon Yishayahu ben Amos. Pinchas is always, that is, all years except this year, Pinchas is the first chapter in Yirmiyahu, Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Hilkiyahu ben HaKohanim Asher ben Adon. It's the first chapter and a few psukim into the second chapter. And then the rest of the second chapter is the Haftorah for the second of the 3 weeks. So the 3 weeks are first chapter of Yirmiyahu, second chapter of Yirmiyahu, first chapter of Yishayahu. But there's something else that's significant about Pinchas when it precedes the 3 weeks as it does this year, that there is the natural Haftorah for Pinchas, which isn't usually read. Because usually, as we say, it's in the 3 weeks. The added significance is that this Haftorah, therefore, which we don't read that often, is also the last of the Haftorahs that are directly related to the Sedra. Starting from after this Haftorah, in other words, this special Haftorah that we're going to read today, which is the natural Haftorah of Pinchas, is the last of the Haftorahs that are chosen by virtue of their connection to the parasha. Because what happens now is, from next Shabbos, there are going to be the three Haftorot of punishment, Gimel Dipuramuta, following that, there are going to be Shev Dinechenta, seven Haftorahs of consolation, beginning with Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, which is the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av. So we now have 3 weeks, plus seven, that's 10 weeks, and then there are going to be two Haftarot of Tshuva, and you know what that's going to bring us up to? That's going to bring us up to Sukkot, and of course Sukkot, the Haftarahs are not related to a Parashat HaShavua, because there is no Parashat HaShavua. That means, the next time, after what we learn today, the next Haftorah that's going to be related to the Parsha is the Haftorah of Parshas Bereishis. That's all. Except, of course, I had better look at my calendar, unless, often, Parshas Bereishis, the Shabbos Bereishis comes before Rosh Chodesh, the day before Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, Tishrei Cheshvan, which means that when that happens on Parshas Bereishis, you read the Haftorah of Mocha Chodesh. So we have 3 and 7 is 10, and 2 of Tshuva, and a Mocha Chodesh, and the 2 weeks of Yom Tov over there. Very. So this is the last. This is the last Haftorah that is related to the Sefer during the course of the year. Now, I don't know whether I should tell you now, but when I in the wee hours of this morning when I got up, I started thinking I have too much to say today. So I have two options. Option number one is take a deep breath and just start saying the shir. The other option is not take a deep breath, take it slow. And if we have to go into extra innings and make it a two-part shiur, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because the subject is one that may very well require two shiurim. The subject is going to be Eliyahu HaNavi. There isn't enough to talk about Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, let's begin by reading the Torah. And then, of course, will come the main task, which is the task of finding out in which way is this Haftorah related to Parashas Pinchas. That's always, whenever we said Shiurim on Haftorah, the great question was, what is the relationship between the Haftorah and the Parsha? Because one thing we have rejected out of hand very often, it's not simply a superficial relationship. You have this in the Sedra, and you have that in the Haftorah, you got yourself, that's it, ready-made Haftorah. It's not that simple, and we're going to see it as we go through this Haftorah. All that I have to tell you is bring you up to date what's happening there in Sefer Melachim before this. Everything in this Haftorah follows, and by the way, this Haftorah is going to be really signal the end of Eliyahu's career as a Navi on this earth, which of course will immediately bring to mind the fact that it is in this Sedra, and we're going to see those Pesukim, where it is in this Sedra that Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, you have to appoint a leader over the Jewish people. And Rashi beautifully says that when a great leader sees that his end is coming, he's not concerned with himself, but he is concerned with passing on the torch of leadership to somebody who is worthy of being the leader of the Jewish people. So in a sense, this is one similarity between the Seder and the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu begins to make plans for the one who will take over from him. In the Haftorah, it's God who's going to tell Eliyahu Hanavi to appoint Elisha, his student, to be the one who is going to take over. In a sense, it's different. The initiative does not come from Eliyahu in the Haftorah. In the Seder, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's initiative. He calls upon God. You have to appoint somebody who's going to lead the Jewish people. Of course, just as an aside that is very basic to this to the Seder, it's something that we would have thought in Parshat Pinchas, we would have thought that the natural choice to be the leader of the Jewish people is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, the one who in an act of great self-sacrifice, he endangered his life in order to kill Cosby Basur and Zimri ben Solu, who in a sense defied God and committed an act, a head of a tribe with an un-Jewish woman. And in a sense, something that was done so that all of Israel should know about it. It was an act of such rebelliousness, and he was the one who took the initiative. He turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said to Moshe, "Did you not tell us at Sinai that if one sees a man living with a non-Jewish woman that he may run him through?" And there came the great answer of Moshe, "Karyano diigarto ihu lehevei parvanta." Doesn't that sound good? I'll tell you exactly what it means. It's Aramaic. That means "Karyano diigarto," the one who reads the letter, "ihu lehevei parvanta." He should be the one, the messenger, to carry it out. You mentioned it, Pinchas. Go to it, and he does it. So here we would have thought that who is the natural to be the leader of the Jewish people? Pinchas's act of self-sacrifice guarantees him, as God says to him, "Hinini noten lo et briti shalom," I give him my covenant of peace. And God says that Pinchas and his family will have a covenant of kahuna, priesthood, forever. So I once said, and I'll tell you, I even remember when I thought about it, I think it was about 18 or 19 years ago, that my oldest brother passed away. He was Rabbi of Worcester, Massachusetts. They brought him here. The Levaya was here, and the parasha, I think before the Levaya was Parsha Pinchas. His yard site is in another week, 2 weeks. Next week. So I wanted to describe him by using, of course, something from Parsha Pinchas. So I asked this question: shouldn't Pinchas have been the one to take over from Moshe? The one who demonstrated such powerful leadership. A man who was able to do an act with such courage. He should be the leader. So they said, no. You know what you learn from this? To become a leader over the Jewish people, what's necessary is a lifetime of devotion to the Jewish people. Not one single act, regardless of how courageous or how brave it may be and how significant. You don't become the leader of the Jewish people as a result of one great act in one powerful moment of life. the choice. God's choice was, for 40 years there's been a man by the name of Yehoshua. The fact is, we haven't heard much about him in the last 39 years, or 38. We knew that he was one of the Meraglim who returned and said, yes, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. We know that he was the one that was appointed by Moshe at the time of the sneak attack of Amalek, that he should go out and wage war with Amalek. But for 38 years, we haven't heard from Yehoshua. Where was Yehoshua? So the Torah tells us where Yehoshua was. Yehoshua was the servant in an intellectual sense. He was the servant of Moshe. And he spent 38 years. Moshe had a tent outside the camp, and anybody who sought the word of God would come out there. And there was Yehoshua. There was Yehoshua. The Gemara even describes him as the one that set the tables up every day in the Beis Medrash. What the Gemara really means is the following. For 38 years, if somebody had a problem, and for whatever reason it is, Moshe was not available, they always knew that they can go to the tent, and there's going to be Yehoshua. Yehoshua knew of their problems. Yehoshua knew of their dreams, their expectations, their fears. There was one person who knew Klal Yisrael well, and that was Yehoshua. And that comes not in a single instant of time. That comes as a result of devoting a lifetime to the Jewish people. And God therefore is saying in this Sefer, the leadership of the Jewish people is going to go to Yehoshua, not Pinchas, not Pinchas. But wait. We will, at some point later, pick up the story of Pinchas. But the leader who is to take them into Eretz Yisrael is going to be Yehoshua. Yehoshua is not only the servant of Moshe, not only one who's been sitting there in the Beis Medrash and listening to the tzaros of Klal Yisrael. I know somebody had a sick child that come in. Yehoshua should pray. Yehoshua was the one who was there all the time. Pinchas is going to have a different. He's going to have a different tough kid. He has a different job. We're not finished with Pinchas yet. For all intents and purposes, we're just starting with him. But wait, Oud Chazon, long way. There's still time for us to get the whole story put together. So, what had happened now before the Haftorah? Before the Haftorah, what had taken place was something that was nearly like God's revelation at Mount Sinai to Moshe. Eliyahu HaNavi was the prophet during the time of Ahab and Jezebel. That's enough to tell you already what kind of a period of time in history. There was a great deal of idolatry in Israel, and it was Eliyahu who 3 years earlier had cursed the land to say there shall be no rain nor dew in this country until I say so. He wanted Israel to turn to God out of its sorrow. And anyway, till the end of those 3 years, he calls for a gathering of all of the prophets of Baal and all the people of Israel on Har Carmel, Mount Carmel, Haifa. And then came the great competition, so to speak, between the two. He said, choose an animal. There were two animals there. Choose one. You'll bring a sacrifice. I'll bring a sacrifice. Whichever one is consumed by fire from heaven, that will be the one who is the real God. The whole story, by the way, that story is also a Haftorah. That story of Eliyahu that precedes this parak is the Haftorah of Parashat Ki Tisa. Ki Tisa, you have the Egel, the golden calf. And here, at Mount Carmel, Eliyahu is going to shatter the idolatry of Israel. And he is going to kill 850 prophets of Baal. And this is the great moment at which, when these fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice that it brought. All of Israel exclaim, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. God is our God. That's what we say it seven times at the end of Yom Kippur. This was the great moment. And in a sense, our rabbis say that there are similarities between Moshe and Eliyahu. Moshe received Torah at Sinai, and Eliyahu at Mount Carmel, the great demonstration of God's presence in this world. They're finished. It's all over. And not only that, as soon as Israel exclaims, Hashem Hu Elokim, Eliyahu sends his servant, go look out to the horizon. See if anything is happening on the horizon. Comes back, he says, no. He sends him again. And then it seems there's a cloud the size of Kaf Hayad, hand. And that cloud begins to move in, and it grows, and it begins to rain, and it begins to pour. The curse is over. V'yad Hashem haitar el Eliyahu v'yishanes matnav v'yoretz utzmei akov ad borach v'yizreelo. And the hand of Hashem was upon Elijah. The hand of Hashem being upon him represents the idea that God gave him great physical strength. And what did he do with that physical strength? So he girded his loins. And what did he do? He ran before the chariot of Achav until arriving in the city of Yizreel. You understand? Up until the day before Achav was the most accursed of all kings. Now, Eliyahu assumes that he also has been moved by this great spectacle, this great dramatic manifestation of God's presence. So, to show respect for the king, he ran before Achav. You understand? Achav is on his chariot with Gesunte Pferd, and he's riding hard. And Eliyahu, we'll see later, Eliyahu was not a young man. And Eliyahu has been getting older all the time. For about the last 2,500 years. We're going to talk about the phenomenon called Eliyahu. And he is able to run before the chariot of Barak and Yisraela. Yisrael was a city toward the eastern end of Eretz Yisrael. I read an article yesterday, 2 days ago, about Yisrael, when it was established in our days, when it was built, and that it was constantly attacked by Arab marauders. I'm going back into the early period of the 20th century, long before there was a state of Israel, and long before there were settlements. Long before that, they were attacking Jews who lived in Yisrael. Anyway, Achav told Yisrael, "Kol Asher Osa Eliyahu, everything that Eliyahu had done, they Kol Asher Horak at Kol Anabim Becharet, and that he had killed all of the prophets of Baal by the sword." The Mefarshim point out that it says the word Kol twice in the pasuk. Achav told Yisrael everything that Eliyahu had done, and everything that he did with regard to killing the prophets. The twice call represents the idea that Achav is overwhelmed. You know, everything he did, he didn't leave out the detail. He told her everything. Does it have an impact on Yisrael? Now Tishlach Yisrael, Malach El Eliyahu, Yisrael sent a messenger to Eliyahu, Lemos is saying, Ko Yasun Elohim, the Ko Yosifun, so shall God to do to you and continue to do. This is a term that appears in Sefer Shmuel and in Sefer Malachi. You know, and unfortunately, we'll say, you know what it means? It's a shortened form of a curse. You know what should be done to you? Oy, such and such shall be done to you. Except that you leave out the such and such. And you just say, so will God do to you. And of course, when she says, so will God do to you, she's talking about her idols. So shall be done to you. Kikaev machar, this time tomorrow, or sin et nafshecha, I'm going to make your life kenefesh echad mehem, like the life of one of them. She tells him that she is going to kill him. She's going to kill Eliyahu. Now, Eliyahu, of course, was a prophet who did awesome miracles. But with regard to his own life, he doesn't want to bring down miracles. He conducts himself as a regular human being. Lo l'smoch al hanes, not to depend on a miracle from heaven. So you know what he does? Vayah, he saw. And the word vayah doesn't mean that he saw visually. He understood that he is in grave danger. Vayakam, he got up, vayelech el nafsho, he went for his life, to save his life. Vayabu Be'er Sheva, he came to Be'er Sheva, Asher Yehuda, which is in the tribe of Yehuda, Vayamach et Nar Oshon, and he left his boy in Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva was part of the Nachala, the inheritance of Yehuda. By virtue of the fact that he, why is it said that it's in Yehuda? Because that means he is out of the area that is governed by Ahab and Yisrael, who was king of Yisrael. They were king and queen of the 10 tribes. He has now crossed the border into Yehuda, and he's at Be'er Sheva. He leaves his boy there. And where is he going? Going off alone. Straight into the desert. V'hu halach b'midbar derech yom. One day's journey into the desert. V'yavo v'yeshiv tachat rotem echad. And he came and he sat down under a rotem bush. A rotem bush, a Spanish broom. Are you impressed? Are you impressed? Now, broom doesn't mean the kind of thing that you sweep the floor with. Broom is the name of it's sort of a low-lying desert bush, a low-lying desert bush. And he sits down under this rotem, Vayishalot nafsho lamut, and he asks that he die. Vayomer, and he said, Rav, it's enough. Ato Hashem, now God, kach nafshi, take my life. Ki lo tov onochi me avotai, I'm not better than my fathers. Tell me two people who asked to die. Yonah. Moshe. Forgive them. Be im ayin, and if not, if you don't forgive them, mechinin on the sifra asher kosavta. But that's not all. Some place in Parashat Va'alotcha, he also says, when he feels that he can no longer carry the burden of the Jewish people, he says, take my life. And by the way, there's a great deal of similarity between Yonah and Eliyahu. What does Yonah do after he arrives at the city of Nineveh? And he has walked through the city and he tells them, Arba'im Yom v'Nineveh, Me'achapes, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. What does he do after that? He goes outside the city and he sits down under a bush and he waits to see. In a sense, Yonah is a loner. He's a loner just as Eliyahu is a loner. And if you may remember a few years ago from the shiurim that we said on Yonah, Yonah was the child of a woman that had died, and the one who brought him back to life was Eliyahu. And Yonah became, in a sense, the angry prophet, just like Eliyahu. We're going to see the extent to which Eliyahu is an angry prophet. Which, of course, is going to mean that we're going to have to understand a great deal about Eliyahu. Who is going to be the one that's going to tell us of the coming of the Mashiach? Who's going to be the forerunner? Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem. I behold, I sent you as Eliyahu, Anovi Eliyahu, the prophet of Nei, Bo Yom Hashem, Hagodol Banora, before the great and awesome day will come. The Heshiv Leif Avos, Albanim, Leif Bonim, Alahosam. He will reconcile fathers with sons and sons with fathers. I mean, we wait for Eliyahu. Eliyahu is the Eliyahu. We have a lot to say about Eliyahu. Anyway, so these three, Moshe, Eliyahu, and Yonah, were the ones who asked to die. Yeah. Says, you've placed the burden of this entire people upon me. How can I lead them? This is a pasuk in Halacha that I'm reading. If this is what you are doing to me, that I must carry the burden of such a difficult people, harageini no haro, please kill me. Im motzasi chen veinecha, if I have found favor in your eyes, kill me. Val ededorosi, I should not have to see the evil that will befall me. Those are the three. Moshe, Eliyahu, and Yonah are the three who asked to die. Alright? Back to the text of our Haftarah. Good, you know, I'm not nervous anymore. Because I know that there's not a chance in the world that I can finish this year today. Not a chance. So we'll finish it next week. Alright? B'hu alav ha-midbar derech yom, he went for a day's journey, went into the desert, and he's under this rotem tree, and he asked to die. Vayomer, he said, Rav, it's enough. One of the Mefarshim says, he had lived already a long time. Shem Ginnik, enough. Atar Shem, now God, kach nafshi, take my life, ki lo tov anotim, I always say, Vayishav, he lay down, by Yisham he slept, Tachas Rotem Echod, under that Rotem tree, Vinei, behold. We've always explained that the word behold, Vinei, means this is a surprise. Vinei Zem Malach no Gerbo, an angel is touching him, Vayomolo, and the angel said to him, Kum, get up, Echol, eat. Vayapid, and Eliyahu looked, v'hinei nida asher tov, and behold, by his head, ugat ritzafim, there is a cake that was made on coals, a coal-baked cake, v'tzapachat mayim, and a container of water. V'yochel, he ate, v'yesh, and he drank, v'yishav, and he went back to sleep. U'melostim nishuvim. V'yoshav malach Hashem shenis, and the angel of God went a second time, Vayigabo, and touched him by Yom, and he said, Kum echol, get up and eat. Ki rav mincho aderech, because the journey that you have to travel is a very long one. I don't know, as I said these words now, I had this feeling that the Malach is telling me, Eliyahu, you're going to keep going throughout all of history. You're going to need a tremendous amount of nourishment to take you through all of history. Vayokom, vayishte, he got up, he ate and drank. Vayelech, the koch, ha'achila, with the strength of that eating, the koch that he got from that eating, he went, arboim yom, arboim leila, ad har ve'elokim chorei. He went for 40 days and 40 nights until he came to the mountain of God in Chorei. Ah. First of all, who else arrived at Chorei twice? Moshe. In Parshat Shmos, when Moshe is tending the flocks of Jethro. He goes out into the desert. He goes out into the desert, and you know where he ends up? He ends up in Chorev. You know what Chorev is? There's the mountain of God. Chorev is going to be Sinai, upon which Torah is going to be given. When he takes the Jewish people out of Egypt, he also comes to Chorev. Where else do we have the idea of 40 days and 40 nights? 40 days and 40 nights, that was Moshe receiving Torah from heaven. A period of 3 times 40, he was up in heaven. He didn't eat and he didn't drink. What we're building up is that there's a tremendous similarity between Moshe and Eliyahu, and our rabbis are going to point it out. And it's all going to be part of developing this picture that we hope to paint of Eliyahu. Vayavol Shom El Hama'aran, he came there to the cave. Vayol and Shom, and he stayed there overnight. Vihine, another surprise. Dvar Hashem Elov, the word of God came to him. Vayomolo, and he says to him, Malachot to Eliyahu, what are you doing here? Fascinating question. Some of the Mepharshim say that the purpose of the question is sort of to engage him in conversation. Chazal say that a number of times when God first speaks to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that he's entering into conversation so that it will get easier to talk. Malachot to Eliyahu, what are you doing over here, Eliyahu? Our rabbis are going to say, this is the one difference between Moshe and Eliyahu. When Moshe came up to the mountain, God said to him, V'atah po amod imadi, you stand with me here. And Eliyahu asks the question, Malachot po Eliyahu, what are you doing here? What's the sense that's left by this question? You have no business being here. What are you doing here? You're a prophet of God to the Jewish people. There is no nation here. This is out in the desert. You're all alone. What's a leader doing? You're abandoning your people? What's Tushu God? What are you doing here? Malachapo Eliyahu. Vayomer. And he said, oi, listen to this. Listen to what he says. Kano Kinesi. La'ashem Elokei Tzvaot. I have been very zealous for God, the God of hosts. Ki ozu brischa b'nei Yisrael, because your children, Israel, have forsaken your covenant. Et nizdechotecha harasu, they shattered, they destroyed your altars. Ve'et nevi'echa hargu b'chorev, and your prophets, they killed by the sword. Vo'yivater ani levadi, and I alone remain. Ve'yivakshu et nafshi l'kachta. I remain the only one, and they want to kill me. They seek my life to take it. Isabel wants to kill me. She sent that message. I mean, this is quite an attack on the Jewish people. They've broken your covenant. They've shattered your altars. They. And I was the one who was zealous for God, the God of hosts. Maybe just another one of the things that you have to tuck away in the back of your head. At the beginning of the parasha, says that God blesses Pinchas, b'kano et kinati, who was zealous for me. And Eliyahu is saying, I was zealous for you. It can be a very important relationship between those two. Vayomer, okay? Vayomer, God said to him, say, go out to Amadato Bahor, and you shall stand upon the mountain, lifnei Hashem before God. V'inei Hashem over. Behold, God is passing by. V'ruach g'dolah v'chazak, and a great and mighty wind. Mefarek harim, that breaks, smashes mountains. Meshaber slaim, and breaks rocks. Lifnei Hashem, a terrible, terrible wind is passing by. And you know what he's told? Lo boruach Hashem. God is not in that great storm wind. And after the wind came rash, the earth began to quake, an earthquake. And Eliyahu was told God is not in that earthquake. And after the earthquake came fire. And he's told, Lo bo eish Hashem, God is not in the fire. Va'achar ha'eish, and after the fire, kol demama daka. A still, thin, light sound. Va'yehi, kishmoa Eliyahu, when Eliyahu heard, now I believe that what the pasuk means, not when he heard the storm wind, not the earthquake, not the fire, but when he heard that silent, still voice. Vayikishmo Eliyahu, vayolet ponov ba'adarto, he covered his face with his cloak, vayetzer, he went out, vayamu petach ha'ma'ara, and he stood at the opening to the cave, v'hine elav kol, and behold, there's a voice that comes to him. He hears a voice. Vayomer, and you know what the voice said to him? Malcho po Eliyahu, what are you doing here? The same question that he had been asked before. What are you doing here? Now, let me give you another thing to put into the picture here. Who else was in a cave? Ah, that's interesting. She said David. No, but I... One of the most unusual visions in all of Torah is after the sin of the Egel, an extremely, extremely difficult parasha, where Moshe asks of God, in nom of Sosin Chembe, never by a found favor in your eyes, Hodi Eni Noed Rochebo, tell me your way. How do you conduct yourself in this world? You understand what he wants to know? He wants to know the essence of God. Im nomot zasi chen ve'einecho. Let me know. Vayomer, so God says in Pana Yelechu, I will pass by v'ani chotilach, and I will let you know. Now, what happens is God says to him, then Moshe asks, have any noise from death or show me your glory? This is in Parashat Kitisa. Vayomer ani, God said, ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. All of my goodness will pass before you. V'korati v'shem Hashem al panecha, v'chanoti et asher achon, v'nichamti et asher arachem. I shall show favor when I choose to show favor, and I shall show mercy when I choose to show mercy. Vayomer Hashem, and God said, Hinei makom iti, there's a place with me. V'nitzachta latzur, stand by the rock that's near the cave. V'hoya ba'avor kvodi, when my glory will pass by, the samticha, I'm going to put you into a cleft in the rock. V'nikra katzur, v'sakoti kapiolach, I will put my hand over you, ad ovni, until I pass. Then I will remove Hasiroti of Kafi, I will remove my hand, Viraita Tachorai, and you will see my back, Ufanai Logedo, but my face you will not see. What's going to take place over here is something that is at the very heart of our davening on Shivasa the Tammuz, and on Tisha B'Av, and all fast days, Slichas Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur. God is going to pass by while Moshe is in the cleft of the rock. The same cave to which Eliyahu has now come. And Eliyahu sees the vision going before him. He sees the powerful, powerful storm wind. He sees he feels the earthquake. He sees the fire. And then it says that he passed by.
And what did it? Now you have to know these psukim. Vayeged Hashem ba'onon, and God came down in the cloud by Yatsevi Moshon, and he stood with Moshe there. Vayikra Hashem Hashem, and he called in the name of God. Vayavar Hashem al-Ponon, and God passed by him. Vayikra, and he called out Hashem Hashem, Kel Rachum v'chanun, Erech Apayim Ram Chesed v'emes. These are the 13 attributes of mercy. God is merciful, he is compassionate, he forgives. This is the great secret that Moshe is told, and God also makes a covenant that whenever the Jewish people will say the 13 attributes of God, the Hashem Hashem Kilrachum Echanan, we say it every day in Kedavah Sfarad anyway, say it in Tachnun. What Eliyahu is experiencing now is going to be a similar form of experience, except there's a difference. Eliyahu has not yet learned the full extent of God's mercy. He is asked now, as he's standing in the same rock, the same place where Moshe Rabbeinu stood, he is asked by God the second time the same question. What are you doing here? The answer is unbelievable. Vayomer, he says, Kanoki neti, Vashem lekei tzavtov, I have been zealous for God of hosts. Ki ozu b'nitcho b'nei Yisrael, because your children Israel have forsaken the covenant. Et mizbecho techa harosu, they have shattered your altars. Ven v'yecho harugu b'chorav, and your prophets they have killed by the sword. Voi v'ter anil v'adi, I have remained alone by Yavakshu at Nafshu the Kachon, they want to kill me. Nothing has changed. Everything that Eliyahu has seen has simply not changed him in iota. Word for word, the exact same response he gave the first time, that's how he responds again with to the answer, Malachot Po Eliyahu, what are you doing here? Hayomer Hashem Elav. So God said to him, Leich Shuv L'Darkecho, God tells him now, you know what? It's in a sense he's going to get the message right away that his ministry on this world has come to an end. Rashi takes the position of some of the other Mepharshim. There he is. You know, I hope we will finally come to an understanding what he's all about. What he's all about. Leich, God tells him Leich. Oh yeah, I underlined it. God is ultimately going to be telling him now, I can't. I got to find a good word. The word I wanted to say was, I can't tolerate your prophecy. Or, maybe God is saying, I can't live with your prophecy. Because you speak ill of my people. Can't take it. No. Categoria, the exact... Oh, a defense attorney is a sanegar. A prosecuting attorney is a kategor. Ein kategor. Nase snegor. I can't take the sense that you are prosecuting my people. They have forsaken the covenant. Oh, beautiful medrash. Until next week. That God says to him, they have forsaken my covenant? Shema b'ritcha. Maybe some covenant that he had with you. My covenant? No, it can't be. And you know what? Eliyahu is then condemned for all time. You know what Eliyahu becomes? Malach HaBrit. He's the angel of a Brit Milah. He has to come to every Brit. And I'm telling you about days that must be extremely difficult for him. But he goes to every Brit. What's a basic part of the bris? Placing the baby al kisei shel Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Hanavi Zahar.
Now, Zal, in his case, does not mean Zichrono Lebracha, because he didn't die. He's called Elio Zachor Latov. Zachor Latov. And he has to report back every day. He comes up to heaven, and he has a new, tell me, Elio. Oslo Brisco, Jews have forsaken God's covenant. How many positions were you at today, Elio? Elio is God's angry man. And in fact, it would seem as though there are two faces to Elio, and we're going to have to make one out of those two faces. Because what it seems now is he is being rejected by God. Yet he is the only prophet who in a sense is taken live heavenward, and he's the only prophet who's going to be by every bris. And wait, and what happens Pesach night, you understand, when we open up the door, who do we open up the door for? We open the door for Elio. Right? Elio. But from this selection, it seems as though Elio is one who condemns the Jewish people. Yet he's upwardly going to turn out to be the one who speaks so well of the Jewish people. And of course, what's he? Harachamon, what are we saying in Benjamin? Harachamon, Yishlach Lanu, Eshelio, Anomi Zachor Lato. Let's go. Vivakil Lanu, Yisora, Stobas, Yeshua, Yisrael. So first of all, over there you hear Harachamon, Yishlach Lanu, Eshelio, Anomi Zachor Lato. And he's the one who's going to be the bearer of the greatest good tidings to the Jewish people. There seem to be two different faces to Elio. Because here's the beginning of the end. At least we'll get the text, and then we have a whole other side over here to deal with. That's next week. I'm very happy that I decided to divide it in two. Because there's too much to be said about Elio to permit it to be done in one year. So he says, God said to him, go back to the desert of Damascus. Go all the way up to Syria. Uvasa, and you will come there. Umashachta, as Chazoel lemelech al-Aram, you will anoint, and then he's going to anoint a goy to be king over Aram. Syria. That Yehu ben Nimshi timshach lemelech al-Yisrael, Yehu ben Nimshi, you will anoint the king over Israel. That Elisha ben Shaphat, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, may avail Mechola from a place called Abba Mechola, Tim Shaklan Abi Tachtefa, you will anoint him to be prophet in your place. Obviously, of course, you, one of the more clear relationships between the Sedra and the Haftorah. What happens in the Sedra? Moshe is told to transfer his greatness to Yahushua. Over here, Eliyahu, who we will see, is very much like Moshe, is the one who's now told to transfer his greatness to Elisha ben Shaphat. So that I think is an obvious relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah, but it goes much deeper than that. V'hayad, it will come to pass, Hanimlat Micherev Chazoel, the one who will flee from the sword of Chazoel, Yomit Yehu, Yehu will kill. I'll explain that next week, Blineda. Hanimlat Micherev Yehu, and the one who is going to flee from the sword of Yehu, Yomit Elisha will put to death. V'sharti b'Yisrael, and I will leave over in Israel, Shivas Halofim Kol Avikayim, 7,000, all of the needs I shall okoru lapal, that did not bow before Baal, the Chol HaPershelo Noshaklo, and the mouth that did not kiss Baal. We're going to have to talk about this too. This leaves an impression, unbelievable impression, that of millions of Jews there are 7,000, only 7,000 who didn't bow down to Baal. I mean, we're going to have to. Oh, I got a lot to do. Next week, I got a lot to do. He went from there by Yimsa Savi. He left the Midbar, he left the desert, and he's on his way back, and he found Elisha ben Shaphat, who Chorei Shneim also at Smadim Lefanav, and he was plowing a span of 12 oxen before him, Vuhu b'shneim ha'asar, and he was in the 12th. Vayavar Eliyahu Elov, Vayashlech Hadat Elov. Eliyahu passed, and he sort of touched him with his cloak. Vayazav Zavaka, Elisha left the cart, the oxen. Vayyodah Tzachre Eliyahu, and he ran after Eliyahu Vayomen, and said, Ashokono lo avili mi, I want to kiss my father and my mother. He understood that this was a message. Eliyahu's cloak touching it was a message that Elisha is the one who is going to take over from him. So he says, I want to go kiss my father and my mother. Ve'elcha acharecha, I will follow you. Vayomalo, and Elisha, Eliyahu wants to, in a sense, reject him. He told him, Leich shuv, go back. I done to you that there's something angry about Eliyahu. And he turned away from him. He took the oxen and he slaughtered them. And in the implements that he had, he cooked the meat and he gave to the people and they ate. He got up and he went after Eliyahu and he served him. The same word that is used with regard to Yahushua. In the Sedra, it's Moshe Yahushua. In the Haftorah, it's Eliyahu and Elisha. And that doesn't even begin to answer what the real relationship between the Sedra and the Haftorah is. And for that, we're going to need a more deeper look at who Eliyahu was, and what he is, and what's his function. Mi'etz Hashem, gesundheit, next week.